O God, we are your people. So take our eyes and see through them. Take our ears and hear through them. Take our mouths and speak through them. Take our hearts and light them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Have any of you here ever had a neighbor who was very, very difficult to love? Anyone? I don't think I've told you the story of our neighbor in New Jersey who absolutely hated me and our family for no reason that made any sense at all. Everyone on the street called him Uncle David. As far as I can tell, he had no family around, so I have no idea how he came by the moniker of Uncle. He lives all alone, just four houses down from our old house in New Jersey, and he is very, very odd. One summer night when the kids were young and Angus was around 10 years of age, Aaron and I were frantically trying to get the kids to sit down together at the dinner table. Do you know how frustrating it can be sometimes when dinner's hot and on the table and trying to get everyone to sit at the same time so you can say grace and enjoy the meal together as a family? It can be very frustrating. Angus was down the street playing at the house next to Uncle David's. After calling to him over and over again to come home for dinner to no avail, I marched down there to bring him back home. Aaron and the kids were already sitting at the table, patiently waiting for us. When I finally collected him and we turned to come back to the house, I heard a sharp whistle behind me. I turned around to see Uncle David standing in his front yard, looking at me and going like this. Until that point, he and I had never spoken a word to each other. He keeps to himself entirely. So I thought, what? Are you kidding me? Am I some kind of dog that you whistle for and to whom you bark out commands? Forget it. We're going home to eat dinner. Uncle David knows where I live. If he has to say something important to me, we're right there. I was thinking this all the while. I just waved at him and marched Angus back to the house. Little did I know that right then and there I sealed my fate. My refusal to obey his whistle and his finger command was all he needed to write me and my family off forever. He has never forgiven me for that. Twice every single day, Uncle David walked his dogs by our house. And even though Aaron and I always said good morning and hello and good afternoon to him, he always ignored us entirely. Never once could he ever be bothered to respond or even to look at us as if we existed at all. Not even to Fiona when she was a cute little girl skipping down the sidewalk. For years, Uncle David was this ongoing and inexplicable enigma to us, why he seemed to hate all of us so deeply. So on one October day, Aaron was walking by his house on the sidewalk, and David was on his front porch putting up Halloween decorations. Odd behavior for a recluse who never answers his doorbell on Halloween, but there he was nonetheless. Aaron decided to make a good neighborly comment. Oh, David, I like your decorations. You know, trying to be good neighborly and kind and loving. No response. Not even a glance in her direction. So being the stubborn Irish woman, a little bit sassy perhaps, that she is, she stopped and asked him, David, is there something I've done to offend you? That right there was the mistake, if you ask me. I'm not sure I want to know what he's thinking. So lo and behold, David turns slowly and he says to her, your husband is rude and your family is too flamboyant. I'm a quiet guy. You're too flamboyant and I don't want anything to do with you. And he turned away. And in 8 years of living on his block, that was the last thing he ever said to us. I've been called lots of things in my life. Flamboyant is not one of them. It may actually be a compliment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Can I be honest with you? I have no idea at all how I could possibly love someone like that neighbor in the same way that I love for and care for myself. When the Lord responded to this test about the greatest commandment in the Torah, in the law of Moses, he responded by quoting from the Shema, which was then and has been for 3,000 years the basic statement of faith for all Jews everywhere. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. But then he adds this most amazing little addition to it, the most radical amendment of all. This other bit, he says, is just like that. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love of God, neighbor, self, all together as one integrated response to the goodness of God. Do you want to know what God is looking for in this world and in your life? There it is, plain and simple. But I'll be the first to admit that I'm not very good at it. I do not love others in the same way that I love for, that I care for my own personal needs. I'm not even sure how that is possible. But I know that I want to, and I know that this is what I want my life to stand for, who I want to be. Most of this past week, I was struggling with this question and befuddled with it by how ordinary people like you and me, like me, can actually love others in this way, until I came upon the insights of a famous Jesuit teacher. He's named Anthony de Mello. In one of his books, Anthony de Mello invites us to consider the call of love by observing the reality of the world around us. Listen to what he wrote. Observe how helplessly and indiscriminately a tree gives its shade to everyone, good and bad, young and old, high and low, to animals and to humans and every living creature, even to the one who comes to cut it down. Contemplate the sheer goodness of the tree, he wrote, for there you have an image of what love is all about. Can you picture that in your minds, my friends? The tree just is. And it generously shares its gift of shade with everyone who comes near to it. Can you see how this love of God and neighbor and self is just like that? Make no mistake about it, that love is the goal of our lives, but we cannot force ourselves to become something that we are not, no more than the tree has to force itself to give shade to those who are near. If you try to obey, to keep these commandments, to love, I promise you that you will fail miserably. This journey into love is not about buckling down and trying harder. It's not about following the rules more closely. This journey with the Lord Jesus that takes us from this place of just trying to muddle through to that place of loving God and neighbor and self happens only when we lose ourselves in God. My friends, we lose ourselves in God when we accept God for who God is and not the way we want God to be. When we accept our neighbor, the one who is near us, the one who stands in front of us at any given moment in time, when we accept that one for who they are and not for who we want them to be. When we accept ourselves for who we are and not as we want ourselves to be. We lose ourselves in God when we let go of our need to control, our need to judge, our need to coerce. The tree just is, and it makes no judgment about who is worthy to enjoy its shade. Love just is, and when we learn to be in God who we were created to be, then we stand like a tree, sharing generously with all who come near. Listen to how the great Christian philosopher Dallas Willard expressed this. In its deepest nature and meaning, our universe is a community of boundless and totally competent love. In its deepest nature and meaning, our universe is a community of boundless and totally competent love. We lose ourselves in God, my friends, when we accept the truth that no matter how things might appear on the outside, love is at the heart of all things, for God is love. I wish that I could tell you exactly what it means to love God and neighbor and self in this way. I wish I could give you an easy step-by-step plan to love difficult people like this Uncle David and to love all of the unsavory and challenging people in the world. But that would be simply one more exercise in coercion. And love cannot be coerced. Love is always the fruit of freedom. So here's the crucial question. Will you allow yourself the freedom to love God, to love your neighbor, to love yourself, the freedom to be who you were created to be? That is the pathway to a life of mutual love for which you and I were created. Become who you are. May it be so. Amen.